So with that, we do have our Sunday humor. I'm not as good at it as Jerry is, but last week I talked about the little boy that told them to get a room, or that they should have booked a room. And I found another one very similar to it, but I thought, well, I'll save that one for another time. But this one is very cute. It goes, this little girl, she climbed up on Santa's lap. And she asked, Santa asked her the usual question, and what would you like for Christmas this year, little girl? And the little girl was stunned, just stunned. She was so stunned that her mouth went like this. She was like stunned that he would even ask her that question. And Santa said, what's wrong? She goes, well, didn't you get my email? That's about right, isn't it? I think if we were to ask young people today what a rotary phone is, they probably wouldn't know how to use it. So today, again, we are in our second week of Advent, and the candle that is being represented today is the candle of peace. So this morning, before I start this message, I have a question to ask you. What does peace look like in your life? What does peace look like in your life? Is it that precious few minutes that you have before everyone in the house wakes up, that silence and peace, and having maybe your first cup of coffee again before everyone else gets up? Or is it the sense of peace that you experience when you look at a sunset? I have a friend of mine who lives on Angling Road, and she loves as she goes out and feeds her horses at night. She literally takes pictures of the sunsets, and she puts them on Facebook. And then she puts a comment, and she'll say, I sure thank the Lord for all these beautiful opportunities that he gives not just me, but everyone to experience his creation and experience that sense of peace when you see a sunset. So, you know, it means a lot to him that you point those things out, that you appreciate them, and that they do bring you peace. Is another way of that you find peace is being with your family, with your church family, with friends. I know most of us can experience this one. How about finding peace when we hold a new baby? How about that, Marilyn?
Yeah.
And Mary? And Janice, most of us here can say that we've had that wonderful experience of holding a new baby, a grandbaby, or a great grandbaby. Amen. And Marilyn said she held her great grandson the other day for almost an hour. You said, did he sleep all that time?
Most of the time.
I remember when my daughter had her first child, Connie, and her husband was in the military. He was on a ship. And so she wanted me to be there for her when she went into labor. And I remember after she had her daughter, Renee, and mommy had fallen asleep, and I'm holding Renee in my hand. And it's so hard not to tear up over this, but as I was looking at her, my granddaughter, and I looked at my daughter laying there sleeping, and I go, Lord, where did the time go? It's just like, I mean, yes, you want to celebrate along with them, and it is so precious to hold that grandbaby, but you just like, this has got to be Connie. This can't be Renee. This has got to be Connie. The time can't have gone that fast. But when we experience those moments, there's so many emotions that go on. There's so many different emotions that we deal with, but the one that tops them all is that emotion of peace and comfort. And as grandparents or parents or great-grandparents, that is the thing that we want to do, is give that new baby, that child, that peace that we have. Amen? So I want to share a story that I read. It's a short story, and the story is called The Secret of Peace. And it's about a friend who wrote a story, and it says the story was about a very special lady, and her name was Grace. And the friend said, There's only one word that comes to mind when I think of Grace, and that word is peace. She always has this quiet, restful expression on her face every time I'm with her. And she says, when I see that quiet expression on her face, she said, it just brings a peace over me. She goes, I love being around her. She goes, but even though her husband was diagnosed with a rare disease and was hospitalized, she still had this peace. And so she said, I just had to ask her, what is your secret for the peace that you have right now with all that you're going through? And Grace responded, it's not a secret. She goes, it's a person. It's Jesus who lives in me. There's no other way that I can deal with the stress than just knowing that Jesus lives in me and Jesus is my source of peace. Now, I did have my first child. Some of you know Dr. Farley. He had a midwife by the name of Mary Bradish. And, of course, being my first child, I was in labor for a long time. And every time that I would go into a contraction, I would look at her. You know, they always, at that time, remember, you get a focal point and you concentrate on that focal point. Well, when I looked at her, again, like that Grace, when I would look at Mary, I saw she would stand there with hands cupped, gloves on, gown on, the whole thing, and she would stand there, but yet you could see on her face nothing but peace. There was just a calmness about her. She was my focal point, because when I would go into having a contraction, I would focus on her, because you could just see it just pour out of her, that sense of peace. But the thing about that is I knew this woman. I had known her for many years. And I knew that she knew Christ as her Lord and Savior. So what she was a vessel that God was able to work through to pour his peace on her. And her peace touched one woman after another, after another, after another, who was going through labor, and she would touch them just by standing there and pouring out that peace. I don't know how many babies she helped birth into this world, but God sure knew what he was doing when he used her as a vessel, as a person who would touch other lives with that peace. Amen? So, my prayer for all of us today is echoed in the words of 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It says, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. So may we feel this peace, not just through this season of Advent and Christmas, but every single day of the year. And we know that the second candle of Advent is on peace, and peace, this candle is to remind us of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Jesus, who came to bring us a spiritual peace. You know, some people would not understand that. They would not understand when you say spiritual peace. What are you talking about? Well, in order to use spiritual peace, you have to have faith. You have to believe that Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, the Word made flesh, to what? To free us from our sin, to set us free, but to heal us, to deliver us. Jesus, who brought that peace. The thing about it is, the peace Jesus offers us is first peace with God. I want to say that again. Think about that. The peace Jesus offers us is first peace with God. Because if you don't have peace with God, you're not going to find that peace in Jesus. You know, that first Christmas when God sent his son, He sent the one who is called what? Not only the Prince of Peace, but he's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's the Rose of Sharon. He is the Great I Am. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. In Luke chapter 2, it says, even the angels cried out, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now think about that. Even the angels knew the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth. Even the angels knew that. The angels knew that the gifts of hope, joy, peace, and love were going to be the gifts given and would be given to us on that first Christmas. But in order for us to receive those gifts, we have to what? We have to first trust and believe that those gifts are meant for us. Satan will come along and tell you that you don't deserve that gift of peace. You don't deserve that gift of hope. You're in this mess because you put yourself there. But because our Heavenly Father so loved us that he sent his only Son to deliver us from the captive, to set us free, that because of that, if we believe that to be so, we can receive these gifts of hope and peace and joy and love. The angels recognized that the fullness of God was wrapped in the flesh of an infant. And he dwells today among us. Now you look back at the words to Emmanuel, because God with us, Emmanuel, that's just what it means, God with us. And it says, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. You know, we are able to have that fullness of peace. All we have to do is reach out and take it. All we have to do is lift our hands. All we have to do is, right now, Father, I receive that peace. Right now, logic tells me that I shouldn't have peace. This circumstance tells me I shouldn't have peace. But with that faith that the Father gives us, all we have to do is reach for it. Sometimes we can reach for it just by prayer. Sometimes, you know, others feel like they need to lift their hands and say, I receive that peace. But when you do that, when you lift your hands and you receive whatever it is you're asking for, be it peace, joy, love, whatever it is, when you reach up like that, it's an action. You're moving in the direction of the Father. You're acting upon the faith that you were given. And faith is an action. So when you confess that you receive this peace, or you reach up and you grab that peace, what are you doing? You're saying, with my faith, I believe that Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and I receive that peace, and I will apply that peace. I will walk in that peace. I will speak that peace. I will share that peace. Just like Grace, the lady that I was just talking about earlier, just like she shared that gift of peace, just like Mary the midwife shared that gift of peace, we too can do that same thing. The great thing is that when we receive this gift of peace, we know that Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies, and that he not only took our place, but that he intercedes for us. That in itself, knowing that Jesus is interceding on our behalf every single day, every single time we cry out to him, Jesus is right there in standing in intercession for us and what we believe in, what we're expecting with our faith. That in itself should bring us a peace, should bring us a comfort. Amen? Knowing that Jesus is praying and He's always, you know, we always think, well, maybe I need to figure out how to say this prayer so that God understands where I'm coming from or what I really need. No, God knows exactly what you need. First off, it's that peace. And sometimes we're so focused on the material thing or wanting this relationship to change when God says, first, what you need is peace in this situation. I can supply all the peace that you need. I can bring to you all the peace that you will ever need. All we have to do is apply it. There is not a secret about peace. Peace is found in our relationship with Christ. Again, it's not a secret, but it's a person. You know, Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and as we become more like him, that peace is going to become more real every single time we use that peace. Every single time we want to imitate Christ, we will more and more experience that peace. So when we go through times of sickness, when we go through times of financial difficulty, or we might experience danger, the weather's bad, the roads are slippery, we need to ask God to give us a peace, give us the wisdom and what he would have us do when we're dealing with a dangerous situation. Peace reassures us that God holds our lives in his hands. Again, if we thought about that, if we were to sit there, maybe we're going through a trial, you know, that's just overwhelming to us. If we were to maybe just close our eyes and say, God has got all things in his hands. He's got us. He's got the whole world. The song, he's got the whole world. He's got you and me. If we picture ourselves in the hands of God, that's when that peace, we're going to experience that peace. We're going to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:28, it says, we can trust that things will work together for the good for those who love God. That's a promise from God. God didn't write that just to be writing and filling up a page. He wrote it because he meant it to be so. So again, it says, we can trust that things will work together for good for those who love God. So when you're going through a situation, you can say to yourself, self, do you love God? Well, yes, I do. Well, the scripture says here that God takes care of us, that he has all things under control. If we trust in him, all things will work for our good. So, have we experienced this kind of peace? Or is it only a seasonal thing during Christmas time? He doesn't mean for peace to be a seasonal thing. He wants peace to be a way of life. That every time we are out and about, that we can express that peace. We can share that peace. How many times has someone come up to you and said, why are you so calm about this whole thing? Why, you know, if I was you, I would be just climbing the walls. But look at you. You're just like so calm about it all. If you hear that, that's a time that you need to sit back and say, God, forgive me. I didn't realize that it was that noticeable, but thank you for the peace that's flowing in me and flowing out of me, and that it's helping me through some of the seasons in my life, the valleys in my life. Thank you for that peace. You know, it's just a peace that I'm so used to you pouring out on me, and that it's become a way of life. And that we realize in that moment that we're more like Christ than we give ourselves credit for. That when we experience that peace, or someone sees it in us, that might be a time that we might have to sit back after when we're by ourselves and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that someone sees your peace in me. Someone is experiencing that peace. And I thank you that well never runs dry. It's that kind of peace that gives us that inner confidence. We have confidence, we have boldness that God is in control. Lastly, I want to share a story. It's a true story. And the story was written by Fritz Wendken. And it's a story that took place during World War II on a Christmas Eve in 1944. Fritz at that time was only 12 years old. And Fritz and his mother had moved to a small cottage in Hürtgen, it's called Hürtgen Forest, after their hometown had been partially destroyed in an earlier American offensive. On Christmas Eve, Fritz and his mother were sitting in their cottage and they heard a knock at the door. And as his mother opened the door, there were three American soldiers, and one of the three was badly wounded. And there was quite a language barrier there as they were trying to communicate with each other because Fritz and his mother were German, and of course the Americans were speaking English. But yet they finally could understand enough of each other that she invited them into her cottage. The thing is, the Americans had lost their battalion, and they were actually wandering around in this forest for 3 days. Fritz's mother made a meal of potatoes and a rooster that she had. Just before they were going to eat, there was another knock on the door. This time, it was the Germans. They, too, had lost their regiment and asked if they could come in and rest for the night. Fritz's mother replied, "Of course, you can come in and have a hot meal and a warm place to rest." But the thing is, she says, "I have three other guests whom you may not see as your friends." She said, "This is Christmas Eve," she said to all of those soldiers, "and there'll be no shooting here." Both the Germans and the Americans left their weapons at the door, and the entire mix of those soldiers sat tensely by each other at the dinner table. And as Fritz's mother said grace, Fritz said he lifted his head and he looked around at those soldiers, and there was not one dry eye. All these soldiers were weeping. At midnight, after they got done eating and they fellowshiped for a little bit, at midnight, Fritz's mother, she stood in the doorway of their cottage, and she asked all of them to join her to look up at the Star of Bethlehem. For a moment of silence, Fritz said, "We all looked up at the brightest star in the heavens. The truce held through the morning, and Christmas Day, two sets of soldiers shook hands with each other and departed, and they went back to their own army." That's what peace looks like. Lord, we ask this morning that you make us an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, we ask that we can sow love. And where there is injury, pardon. And where there is doubt, faith. And where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, only joy. Divine Heavenly Father, we ask that you grant unto us that we may not so much be consoled, but to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all of our hearts. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. Some of the church services that I've gone to, at the end of the service, they'll say, "And the peace of God be with you always." But you are to look at the person next to you when you say that. And then that person next to you would say, "And also with you." So this morning, what I would like you to do is, Glenn, you can look at Tim. Tim, you can look at Glenn. You two, everyone's got somebody sitting next to them. And what I want you to do is look at the person next to you and say, "The peace of God be with you always." Are you ready? "And the peace of God be with you always. And also with you." Father, keep us in perfect peace as our minds stay on the truth of your powerful love. Help us, Father, to fully trust in you and rest in you. Rest in the peace that only you alone can offer. And Father, we thank you that as you give us this peace, that we don't just keep it within us, that we take that peace and we not only apply it to our lives, but that we sow that peace to all of those that come across our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.